Tiny Talk, episode 14. In this episode, Aegon, Aelia, Mimicry, and Elinx. Hello, and welcome to Tiny Talk, a podcast about mushes and other text-based virtual worlds. I'm your host, Javelin, and this episode looks at the four categories of games, described by sociologist Roger Caillois in his 1958 book, Man, Play, and Games. Of course, with reference to playing mush, and particularly to role-playing. But before we get started, here's a promo for a new mush podcast that you might like to know about.
Hi, I'm Wes Platt, also known as Brody, from Other Space, Chiaroscuro, and Necromundus. Tune in for Other Voice, the official podcast of the text-based online role-playing games at www.jointhesaga.com. Episodes can be found at jointhesaga.podbean.com. Thanks for listening.
The first category of game, Aegon, refers to games that focus on competition. Caillois said that Aegon games are always a question of rivalry which hinges on a single quality, speed, endurance, strength, memory, skill, ingenuity, etc., exercised within defined limits and without outside assistance, in such a way that the winner appears to be better than the loser in a certain category of exploits. I got that quote, by the way, and other quotes from Caillois' book from a very good series on the application of Caillois' theory to video games on Chris Bateman's Only a Game blog, and I'll have a link in the show notes. Back to Aegon. Aegon is player-on-player or character-on-character competition. On a mush, of course, the limits are pretty severe. Players can certainly compete against one another in typing speed and mushing endurance and writing skill, memory, ingenuity, etc. Making characters compete, however, is a much more difficult proposition if characters are not supposed to simply inherit their players' qualities or take advantage of them unfairly. For example, when two characters are to have an IC battle of wits, it's the player's skills that are likely to determine the outcome. One can imagine some coded mechanics to make a character appear less witty. One can also roleplay a character as being less witty. Making a character more witty is unlikely to be solved, short of very strong AI. And this is the underlying problem that makes doing a public mush based on something like Princess Bride or Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy pretty hard, because not everyone's witty all the time. One approach that I haven't seen fully implemented on a role-playing mush might be to focus the game on the players rather than the characters. This is essentially the approach taken in adventure gaming MUDs or social mushes. You could use player skills to assign characters, and the characters could compete using the skills of their players. Or you could adjust characters based on the results of player competition so that better players get better characters, either by their characters improving, depending on, you know, which competition they win, or by them being allowed to buy into better characters. The latter idea, where the player gets to continually change characters, sort of buy up, can be found in Piers Anthony's novel Step, for example, which has other interesting ideas for mush design, by the way. The second category of game, Aelia, refers to games of chance. Most role-playing mush mechanics, with the exception of those that use pure diceless approaches, tend to have strong aleatory components, so I don't have to say much about this, except that it's a real advantage for players to understand exactly how the randomness works. And for this reason, designers sometimes try to hide the underlying algorithms to avoid role-playing, R-O-L-L. But a sufficiently clever player can often reverse-engineer the system, so it may be better to maintain equality by making the system transparent to all players. Another important design tip: if you're going to introduce new probabilistic mechanics in a game in order to model some kind of system, consult with someone who has a background in probability and statistics. Simply choosing some number of dice to roll may not really model the relationships that you want. The third category of game, mimicry, refers to simulations and role-playing itself, games in which the player tries to act out or simulate a world or identity. This should sound very familiar. Here's Caillois again. Mimicry is incessant invention. The rule of the game is unique. It consists in the actors fascinating the spectator while avoiding an error that might lead the spectator to break the spell. Again, Mush roleplayers are so used to this kind of game that I don't have anything original to say about it now, except, and isn't there always an except, to note that because most worlds aren't inherently competitive, and most people don't enter into lotteries where they might experience a significant loss, there is a tension between Mimicry, Aegon, and Aelia. If you're really playing a character well, you might be more or less competitive than the game structure allows, or more or less risk-seeking than the game's mechanic encourages. On the other hand, a pure simulation of every moment in a medieval castle would likely not be very engaging to players for very long. So there's a balance here. The fourth category of game, Elinx, is particularly interesting. These are games that seek to give the player a temporary sense of vertigo or instability of perception, like spinning around in a circle. I'll broaden that out a bit to include instability of feeling. In many ways, this is exactly the kind of effect that I associate with really powerful role-playing that evokes emotions. Of course, temporary is key here. You want to evoke strong gut feelings, but also ensure you have a way of providing closure and restoring stability to the player at the end of the session. Sensory media, notably radio, film, and graphical video games, have well-developed vocabulary and grammar elements that can reliably evoke certain kinds of emotion, horror, relief, sadness, joy, confusion. Books can do that as well, but Mush storytelling involves multiple authors, few of whom have the mastery required to make this kind of writing work consistently. So, and here's the pitch, the development of a guide to emotional evocation for role players and GMs would be a great project. Does anyone want to try it? Music for this week's episode of Tiny Talk is brought to you by Adam Brozinski's Ride album and Jamendo.com. If you're downloading this directly from the web, you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Tiny Talk is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 license, so you're welcome to share it as is, just don't sell it. Show notes for Tiny Talk are at community.penmush.org. If you have comments, mushing questions you'd like answered, or suggestions for future shows, send email to tinytalk@javelin.penmush.org or leave a voicemail at 206-333-1542. Until next time, keep the text flowing.